Welcome back to another weekly episode of Free Basketball, part of the Lead Sports Podcast Network. Before we go any further, I have to give a shout out to one of our sister shows on the network, and that is a podcast from the T-Wolves Lead and Corbett Harrell, The Alley-Oop, which is everything a Minnesota Timberwolves fan needs to listen to if they want to know what's going on with their team or want to hear opinion about what's going on with them. He also does the WNBA, talking about the Lynx, and he always has special guests on that are in some sort of, or they work for the particular team in some sort of scope. So you get a lot of great stuff talking about the Timberwolves. It's probably a little hurtful to talk about right now since they just stomped the Grizzlies this past couple days ago. So I still have to be fair and shout him out. So go follow Corbett and the T-Wolves Lead and listen to the Alley-Oop. But getting into our episode this week, it is just me and Daniel. Cody might show up. We don't know. I sent him a notification that we were starting to record. So we'll see if he shows up halfway through. But me and Daniel to start here, and we are continuing our series with last week we started Smasher Pass with the Eastern Conference. We're going to do that this week with the Western Conference. But before that, we do have some kind of not breaking news, but very interesting things that happened tonight or today. We are recording this, of course, Sunday evening, November 21st, getting a little head start to the Thanksgiving break. And first off with Daniel, I do want to stop to talk about the fight or the almost fight or why is Isaiah Stewart not a defensive end for the Cowboys right now? Daniel, just... I assume you saw it like everyone saw it.
Yes.
If you're not a Lakers or Pistons fan, you probably only saw it on Twitter because I assume that that's the only two fan bases who are watching this game. but what was your reaction when you saw the actual video where you're just kind of like, oh, it was an accidental hit by LeBron. And then you saw all the other videos where it looked pretty on purpose. What's your reaction to the almost fight or the wrangling of Isaiah Stewart, as we'll call it?
Well, my first thing is you see LeBron's arm come back and he makes contact, you know, for the most part, you kind of see it, but what you don't see is LeBron ever again,
yes.
Ever.
He's gone.
He doesn't want the smoke. Beefs do. He wants all the smoke. And we saw Russell Westbrook. He looked like a little leprechaun, the Fighting Irish. He's putting his dukes up. He's ready.
He's ready to go into fisticuffs.
Yeah. He's going to jump off somebody's back, come up from the top, give the phenomenal forearm or something. Why not? Right. But Beefs do, Isaiah Stewart, was all about the smoke. He wanted everything. And I'm not sure where he got hit on the eye because it looked like he was more his lip because he was bleeding out of his mouth. And correct me if I'm wrong, when he went to try to get away from his security people, teammates, coaches, I think he hit into somebody else and that split open his eye. I could be wrong, but all of a sudden, after he tried to get away, he came back and he looked like he just got knocked out and his right eyeball was trying to get out of his face and it was not good.
I think he got hit right underneath the eyelid, which I've had that happen to me before in a basketball game where I got an elbow right there, you know, but this one was accidental. It wasn't LeBron rearing back and smacking me on purpose going for a defensive rebound. And it bled like that. Like it was bad. And I had to go back during the game and get it all sutured up and all that stuff to be able to come back. So I think it was a hit right over or right underneath the eyelid. And if you hit that, it just springs a leak. That's what it looked like to me anyways. I could be wrong, but his face by the end of all of this, by running around and could not control it, he looked like, you know, Wilson, the volleyball off of Castaway. Like it was just like streaming down his face. It was rough, man. Like it was straight out of a war movie. It was I hate to see a player get hurt, but it was entertaining. Like this is the NBA. It's drama every night, it feels like. And so it was interesting to see because I don't ever remember seeing a player that was uncontrollable like that. Like, yeah. There's guys who've been like pushing to get to the guy or try to get loose, but he was over and over and over trying to get to the Lakers side. So that was interesting, especially being, you know, Malice in the Palace from forever ago.
Yeah,
it was interesting. And so, of course, LeBron's probably going to get suspended or maybe suspended a game or so. I would assume Isaiah Stewart's out a couple games as well for the response, but I'll be interested to see how they respond to it, because it was entertaining but sad, and there's just no reason for it really from both sides. So it escalated when it didn't need to. But that, now let's talk about some other news that came out today, this afternoon, and that is the Sacramento Kings firing incumbent head coach Luke Walton. And I have been calling for him to be fired for 3 years, ever since he got hired, really. That's how long he's been with the Sacramento Kings, 3 years, I believe. What were your immediate responses to that? Was it just, oh, it's time? Or like, what were your feelings about Luke Walton being fired?
Yeah, so it's a little long overdue. Luke has not shown that he can be a good coach, in my opinion. He hasn't shown really how to manage a team, a locker room, a franchise. And really that's what it comes down to, is you're pretty much the CEO of a company in a sense, because you're having to manage personalities, which is the biggest thing about coaching, is it's not really the X's and O's, as we can tell, because if you watch John Calipari, he's still a good coach in college, and he's one of the worst X's and O's coaches, and he still is able to do it because he's good at recruiting and he's good at just kind of, you know, making sure he's got his swag level turned up just enough where people don't call him out, right? So he's not on the Penny Hardaway swag level.
Ooh.
But he is definitely okay enough. But Luke Walton seems to be a good guy. His father is probably one of the worst announcers, play-by-play color guys of all time. He can probably jump in the ocean and go way far away if he'd like. But I'm not a big Walton family man.
I am not either. I always enjoy, if I have to watch some sort of Pac-12 game, I really enjoy Dave Pasch trying to banter with Luke Walton, because it's really funny, because I don't know if Dave Pasch just kind of bought into this like shtick, and he's like the disappointed parent trying to listen to Bill Walton all the time.
Yeah.
And is like kind of like making fun of him the entire time, and Bill doesn't realize it. And then Bill says something crazy about cupcakes and watermelons or something. And then Dave's like, okay, and that's halftime. And so, yeah, I'm not a big Walton fan. He got the job because of that stint he had with the Warriors when Steve Kerr was out, and they had Klay Thompson, Steph Curry. I mean, they were at the peak of their powers, and he got that job because of that. And ever since then, like, Vlade Divac brought him on, but Divac was gone. Kind of surprised they didn't change in the offseason, really, with all the issues that had. I mean, they had Buddy Hield playing off the bench. You know, he was a sixth man, and then he was a starter, and then they paid him like a starter, but they thought they'd bring him off the bench. And it was just never, it just, nothing seemed to fit well. So I think there is some blame to shoulder with Luke Walton for how it felt like, for the most part, he had the pieces to be at least a little bit better than what they are or have been, but I cannot put the complete blame on him at all. Right. Like, he should not bear the blame of the failure of the Kings completely, because ultimately, to me, it is the failure of the front office and the ownership. Would you agree with that? Or do you think it's more so his coaching implementing the pieces they've given him?
Yeah. So you don't know what's behind closed doors, or whether or not he's being told, you know, you can't play Marvin Bagley. If he's told that you're going to have to bring Buddy Hield off the bench because we need to get, you know, Halliburton in the game or whoever in the game more. I think it is a tough spot to be in as an NBA coach of a young team, because you really don't know what the front office is influencing on your coaching and what handcuffs are giving you. So So I do always try to make sure I'm, you know, try to hold to that standard because it is tough in some instances. But I think it is probably the front office is more to blame than anything else. They've been a wreck for forever, right? I don't know. I don't remember the last time the Kings were good. I don't know if it was Shaq. Was Shaq in the league then? I'd believe.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been a long time. So in the end, I think
when Vlade Divac was still playing.
Right. Exactly. So it's a franchise issue. So it's not on Luke, but also if you can't get your guys bought in, that's a coaching issue. And he has not been able to get his coaches, his players bought in. So I put the blame on him on that. So no matter what the front office gives you, and I use the illustration of Taylor Jenkins here in Memphis, I imagine he's had his hand, you know, his handcuffs on him as well on certain players and what he can and can't do. And maybe even like this year with him having to play Zaire, like they're just saying, hey, you have to play him. And so you learn to get around it and you learn to get, you know, the guys on your side and you figure it out. So I don't know. I do think it's more of the front office than the coach.
Interesting. Okay. Because interim head coach Alvin Gentry, who I made a joke on Twitter earlier, it's like his fifth failing upwards head coaching job, because yeah. I feel like he's done this song and dance four times already. Like he did it with the Pelicans, I think. Like he did it with the Suns, you know, right. He's been all over as a associate head coach, and then the guy gets fired and then now he's the interim. I wouldn't think they would boost Alvin Gentry to interim head coach if they didn't think they had anything there.
Yeah.
Now, maybe he is just kind of a watchdog through the rest of the season, but he's prolifically in the past been an offensive guru. That's what he was with the Warriors. And I think he's gotten subsequent jobs just like Luke Walton based off that offensive acumen. But everybody forgets it had Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, right, and Iguodala, Sean Livingston. I mean, you name it, they had it. So it's not hard to look great on offense scheming wise with those players. And it just has not done anything anywhere else. So right. I don't know if they're expecting Gentry to kind of change things with the offense. I mean, the Kings have been up and down, I think would be fair to say, to start the season. And they obviously feel like they should be better than what they are currently. I mean, they're 6-11.
Yeah.
So obviously they think they should be a 500 team. They're 3-7 in their last 10. So I don't know what the realistic expectations that they have. Like, do they think they should be a 500 team at minimum right now? Is that what you project for the Kings going forward? Do you think this is a 500 team? Because we've seen this constructionist team before. Harrison Barnes is fun. You know, he's a good player. De'Aaron Fox, I've always had a soft spot in my heart for, but is he a winning player? I think that's a fair question. Buddy Hield, you know, we all would have preferred that the Lakers have went for the trade package for Buddy Hield over Russell Westbrook, but is maybe these guys are not winners, or maybe just together they just don't work. I don't know, projecting him forward. Like, what do you feel with this change, with Gentry coming in, going forward for the Kings?
I think they'll play much better because usually, you know, a coach can give you a little stability in that. And so I think they'll play a little bit better, but you're talking about 6-11. So 5 games under 500 right now. So in the next, let's say half of the year, let's give them another 30 games. I'd say 10 games under 500, at the halfway mark. And that's so, you know, in the first so many, the first 17, they're 5 games under. You give them another 30, I bet they're 10 games under. So that's a much better record, but it's still 10 games under 500 midway through, which means you're probably going to be 20 games under 500 at the end of the year, which is not good.
Yeah, so I don't know if maybe the Kings are thinking this is a Atlanta Hawks situation last year with firing Lloyd Pierce. I mean, they elevated Nate McMillan and they immediately go on this run. I mean, I think they end the season like 27-11 with Nate McMillan.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's the way they're feeling about getting rid of Luke Walton. Maybe this kind of overshadowing depressing feel over the team is lifted, like it was with the Hawks with Lloyd Pierce being fired, and they're going to go on this run. I don't know if it's the same situation. I think the Hawks are a much deeper team with better talent than the Kings.
Yeah.
So I don't think much will improve. I do expect it to be, you know, maybe not right away, but to be at least more aesthetically pleasing offensively instead of the stinkers that they have been throwing up recently. So I don't expect much from the Kings anyways. And that's why I'm kind of on the side of, yes, it's partially Luke Walton. It's probably more so about the front office with the way they've drafted. Yeah. I mean, Marvin Bagley over Luka. I mean, wow. You're never going to recover from that.
Yeah.
And then they're not playing Marvin Bagley at all. And they said they're going to play him and he's not even starting. So
like, why wouldn't you at least play him to get his stock up?
Like, and his draft agent stock is like, we were told this and they're doing this. It's been a malfeasance, you know, been a gross mishandling by the franchise. So that doesn't sound too much like a coach to me. It sounds like pointing fingers at management, but that's enough of the Kings. But as much as I dislike Luke Walton, I hate to see someone get fired because ultimately I don't know if it's a situation where a coach can fix it.
Exactly.
Does that make sense? I feel like that's a kind of a decent way to end.
Right. But in the end of the day, he might be better off to get out of that and move on than to just keep, you know, just beating him down. So, you know, who knows? It could be best for both.
Yeah, I agree. But let's get into the Western Conference Smash or Pass now. So it's just me and you. So this will be probably pretty quick if I had to guess. I mean, Cody, Smash or Pass, he'll have a little blurb here and there. But we might get this fiery, maybe a little bit more back and forth debate here. So we're going to go from just like we did last week, Smash, we love this team, Pass, we just don't see it long term for the rest of the season. And so just going from current rankings as they are right now, number one, the Golden State Warriors, they're 14-2. Smash or pass?
Smash all day.
Okay. I'm a smash as well. I do have one question.
Okay.
I've seen a lot of different takes how, like, wait till Klay Thompson gets back. They're playing really, really hard every night. So is there another gear to them? When you hear that kind of stuff, is that stupid? Like the Klay Thompson stuff, I don't think we can say, man, wait till they get Klay back, because we just have no idea what he's going to be, right?
Yeah.
But the whole, they play hard every night, you know, is there a different gear, or is the best that we've seen from this team already? Is that dumb to you?
Yeah, that's dumb. Because the thing is, like, playoff team, everybody steps it up, no matter how well you play at all. And honestly, if you're not playing your best and you're a professional, that's on you, just in general. They didn't get to be a 14-2 team just because they're playing harder than everyone else and they're trying harder than everyone else. That's not how it is. They are running a better system, in my opinion, which helps you win games. And I'm not saying Steve Kerr is coaching them to win. I just think he has a better system and it allows other people to get into the offense a lot better. And their defense is pretty active. And so I think this is a real threat of a team. And when they do get Klay back, it's going to open the floor up even more for Steph, because Klay does not have to dribble drive. He doesn't. And especially if they're good, he doesn't have to dribble drive. He can sit out and shoot. I imagine he's not going to lose that. He's probably going to lose a little bit of his defensive abilities, but I wouldn't imagine his offensive shot is still going to be there. And I think I predicted that they would be a top four team at the end of the year. And
yeah,
I feel better.
In the previews and a couple weeks ago, I mean, I said this team's going to start hot. Yeah. Didn't expect them to start like this, where they had the best record in the league. But I think the only kind of fair questions that we could probably get more into deep dive later is Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins, is this something that is sustainable?
Yeah.
And Jordan Poole has shown all the signs of being an awesome player. But if Klay comes back, I assume Klay would come off the bench as they've slowly worked him in. But if Klay is pretty good, Klay obviously is the best, one of the best teammates the NBA has seen.
Yeah.
Right. If Jordan Poole's just playing that well in the starting lineup, Klay Thompson, I could see being like, you continue to start. I'm fine with coming off the bench. And I do think that's an interesting aspect because I think people are just, oh, Jordan Poole coming off the bench now, Klay Thompson back in the starting lineup. I don't know. If it doesn't work, then if, man, you know, Klay Thompson is not as ready to go and they slow him working in and it's just working out better for Klay to be on the second unit, I could see that being something.
Not long term.
He wouldn't care.
Not long term.
You don't like it long term. That
kind I'd say 10 to 15 games because you got to think, depending on when he comes back, he's not going to be on the minutes. He's going to be on a minutes restriction, so his minutes won't be up there. There's no reason to mess up the flow when you can get him, you know, 15 minutes, you know, by playing on the bench unit. And then he can even work up to 25 minutes on the bench unit. So 10 to 15 games, feeling good. Maybe if he comes back early as they're projecting now, after the All-Star break, you make the switch is when you put him into the, you know, into the starting unit and then kind of go from there. So it is like a clean switch. So you have time to practice it or whatever. But in the end of the day, it really doesn't matter much because he's going to be playing along with the starters a lot of the times. So it doesn't matter as much as people make, you know, make it sound, but I do think that they're going to bring him off the bench in the beginning because it just makes more sense to take the pressure off of him a little bit.
Yeah. So I did ask at the beginning, then I got on a quick, you know, rabbit trail as I always do. Do you believe that what Poole and Wiggins are doing, you know, 17, 19 points a game between the both of them right now, is sustainable for this Warriors team? Or do you think it's just taking advantage of teams early?
Wow. I think it's taking advantage of teams a little bit early. I do think that they're good for what they are, but I don't think they're going to be consistently good the whole year. I think they will, you know, come back a little bit. So, but I don't take anything away from those guys. They're still going to be good players. They're just probably not having to put so many, you know, buckets in all honesty. They're not having to do so much on the offensive end.
Yeah. So, because there is a team right on their tail, and that's the second team, the Phoenix Suns, who are 12-3. I don't know if this is updated. I know they played the Nuggets tonight. I don't know if that game's final.
13-3 now.
But they're 13-3 now. Okay, that is final. Smash or pass for this team?
I'm smashing them.
Okay, 12 wins in a row.
Woo.
Obviously, in the finals last year, there's nothing that you worry about with them. The DeAndre Ayton contract, we've talked about that. It hasn't seemed to been an obstruction so far, but JaVale McGee has done a serviceable job of coming in when DeAndre has been out. Is that your kind of only question mark about them, or is there potential question marks that you have for them making another deep run come playoff time? Like, is Landry Shamet really that guy?
Yeah, that's my questions. Is their bench unit, like, who steps up? Are they going to play as good as they're playing? My questions are not with DeAndre Ayton, because what DeAndre Ayton doesn't have guaranteed is a contract. Who doesn't play harder to either, you know, maybe like after you break up, you have a bad breakup with a girlfriend or whatever, you always like go work out even more to try to get in better shape and be the best you can be. It's the same thing with basketball. You're going to go out there and you're going to put your best foot forward because you want money.
So you didn't go binge eat at the Chinese buffet. You just didn't sit up there eating sushi.
The first week. Yeah. The first
wontons.
Week. Yeah. The first week I stuffed my face. But after that, you got to move on, you know, shallow how you got to find you a girl.
But no, I like it. Yeah.
I think Ayton's going to be good. I don't worry about Ayton. It could be a locker room issue, but you have Chris Paul there. And I don't think that's an issue.
Yeah, I've smashed this team as well. My only question mark is, if Landry Shamet's that important for this team going forward, I don't like it. right. Because he seems to be a pretty key piece shooting for them off the bench. Now, they did this last year, you know, with other guys coming in, like campaign for starters. Landry Shamet, I'm sorry. Like, he's been on his fourth team in 3 years or something like that. Maybe this is home. I don't know. But I do believe in Chris Paul and Devin Booker, and I think Ayton will have a good season. So for sure. Get to the third team, the Utah Jazz, 11-5, smash or pass?
Smash them. I really like them. They're a really good regular season team, and they're better than last year.
How so? Just because of Rudy Gay?
Yeah.
Or so they're a big Hassan Whiteside fan.
They're deeper. So I know we talked about it in the preseason and way before, whatever. But instead of like zigging when everybody else is zigging, they zagged when everyone else is zigging, if that makes sense. So,
or they double downed zag.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So instead of like trying to get somebody else that's maybe a like a rim runner, someone who can get up and down, like a Montrezl Harrell, for example, to pair alongside with a Rudy Gobert, they said, let's go get a cheaper Rudy Gobert, someone who you don't really need to throw the ball into. Hassan Whiteside, Rudy Gobert, can block a lot of shots, both of those guys, and can kind of disrupt, you know, the offensive flow for the other team. That's really what they did. They're putting in the same guy, just much cheaper and not nearly as good. But they went in the same direction, and then they went on the outside. Their shooting is just crazy good. This team is going to be a really good regular season team, and I think that we're going to see them be good the whole year. And honestly, they're going to continue on and on, and I'm excited about them.
Yeah, it is interesting. They're a smash for me as well. It's interesting that they're 11-5, and they're still one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the league right now. So obviously, the past couple of games, they've been shooting 40%+, but this is a team to have a bounce back from three, and they'll be solid when that gets consistent. So I'm a smash. I think they'll make a huge run, just like the Suns did. The next team, the Los Angeles Clippers, 10-7, who have kind of come back and had a run from their pretty poor start. They're 7-3 in their last 10. Are you a smash or a pass for this team?
I am a... They're iffy.
Can I help you with my answer? Maybe that'll help you solidify yours.
No, because I'm going to pass.
Okay, good, because I pass as well.
Yeah, so I don't know. And the reason I kind of stopped on, because they're a good team, right? They're fine. But they played a really easy schedule to start the season. They're not going to be as good on defense as what they've shown so far. And so I'm going to pass on them because I think they're going to come down to earth just a little bit.
Yeah, I hate to pass Paul George in an MVP run type season because he's been pretty dang good to start. I'm just not seeing it with this team. And they've already had some injuries, and, you know, Batum is out and health and safety protocols. So any kind of stuff like that happens to them, it's a huge deal to their top seven guys. Whereas other teams can kind of survive that and keep going and tread water. I just don't think the Clippers, if something happens where Paul George, you know, who has load managed, quote unquote, the past two seasons, is he going to go a full 82 game slate? I don't think so. And what happens if he doesn't play 15 to 20 games? What's their record going to be in those games? Right. So I pass on this team. I think they'll still be in the playoffs. It would be interesting if they were a four seed, but they would be my biggest bet against in the first round ever. 100%. And I just don't think Kawhi's coming back. I'm sorry. I just don't believe that he's coming back this year, no matter how good or bad that they are. But a team that this team is just odd. The Dallas Mavericks, 9-7, smash or pass?
I'm going to smash them. And
really?
Okay. The reason I'm smashing them is for other reasons than probably that how good they are. But I couldn't.
What other possible reasons could there be?
I couldn't pass on everyone.
Okay.
So I had to pick some teams that I was going to smash.
Okay.
And the reason I'm going to smash them is because I like Luka. Porzingis is getting better. Jalen Brunson helping a little bit. THJ is doing better. I like his shot. Horrible for fantasy basketball. God, why? I don't know why I have him on my team. Like, he was better than what was there on the draft board. I can tell you that, but not ideal for fantasy basketball. But we'll see. I think the team can be good, and I think they're going to be a top six team, just because I don't believe in a lot of these other teams for sure.
So this is. What, year two or three for Porzingis being there? Three? Two? One and a half, maybe?
Two.
I can't remember the exact. I probably should have looked that up. But we've seen this experiment before. I mean, last year, is this a team that you believe in come playoff time? Is it truly Luka-centric? Like, if he's on, then the Mavericks are going to be good. Or is it, do you really think Porzingis can actually contribute to help them to actually advance in the playoffs? Because last year I thought they were going to beat the Clippers. I did. Yeah. And I lost a lot of money on that because I really thought that they were going to beat the Clippers, and Luka was just that awesome. So is it just kind of a, you know, Luka's been out for a little bit, but is it just play himself into shape, figure out what to do with Jason Kidd's new system? So you believe this is a team to be reckoned with in a couple months as we get later into the season?
Wow. I don't know about reckoned with. I think they're going to be a tough team to beat in general, just because I think they are a good team. I think they can surprise people and they can win, you know, a series for sure in the playoffs. But I don't know if they're the team to reckon with. I don't see them being a championship contender. No way.
Gotcha. Okay. This is why it's so tough for me at this team, because if Luka's awesome, I could, like, my sneaky kind of gut feeling is that they break through and make the Western Conference Finals.
Wow. Okay.
But then there's also a feeling that with Jason Kidd, I don't think I can back someone to make the Western Conference Finals being coached by Jason Kidd, even though Luka is that awesome. So I'm still at a wait and see. I guess I would have to agree with you for now. It's a pass or a smash, just because they're 9-7, but I don't think they're an impressive 9-7.
Right.
So the Denver Nuggets are next. Talking about a team that's not impressive to me, but still 9-7, only for Nikola Jokic. Smash or pass for this team?
I'm going to pass.
Okay.
I don't know what's going on with them, and I have not heard any news on Jamal Murray. And that's worrisome, because usually, because you're hearing, you know, news about, you know, Clay, but you're not hearing many, you know, much of anything without right now of Jamal. So that's what worries me. It's not because of, if he's there, I think they're good, but without him, it's not ideal.
Yeah. I was kind of keeping my fingers crossed that he was going to actually be back. We haven't heard anything definitive about that, but Will Barton has been playing awesome for this team, but we know Will Barton,
right?
He's going to be injured for 20 plus games. So what happens to this team without Will Barton? And it's truly just Jokic.
Yeah.
But now that we're getting kind of into the bottom half, we talked about the top of, let's kind of blow through these last few here. These kind of bottom ringers, this currently seventh seed Portland Trail Blazers, 9-8, smash or pass.
These bottom ringers coming up, boy. I'm going to pass on Portland. And this
it's
is the
winter
reason,
time around here, boy.
Yeah. And that's the reason I took a smash on Dallas, is I'm going to pass on Portland. I don't like what they have. They're not good defensively. They're good enough to win enough games to be in the playoff hunt for sure. But I think you can easily beat them.
They're not a force that you're like, oh, crap, we got them tonight. Now, Dame has been shooting poorly, and that has been kind of a for a lot of players so far that were awesome last year. But I'm going to pass with them as well. I wish Chauncey Billups. I'm kind of wait and see still, so I'll pass right now. But the Lakers, they're up next, 9-9. We just talked about them a little bit. The interesting game ahead, Pistons tonight. Smash or pass?
They don't want that smoke. I'm passing.
Yeah, I think I'm going to pass too. I just don't see it. And I've seen all these people showing about the Cavs had a slow start back then, and then they finished with 53 wins and all that crap. But even if you get all those older guys back that are, you know, to be healthy, I just don't see it from this team to make a huge run. So I'm going to pass them. The Memphis Grizzlies at 8-8.
Hold on. Let me go back to the Lakers real quick.
Go ahead. Yeah.
My reason on passing on them, it's not because of the talent. They have really good talent.
Good talent, they're healthy. Out of 2.5 players.
Right. Well, if they're all healthy, right? If they're all healthy and we're getting to the playoffs, AD and LeBron can win you a series. They just can. But there's always something going on with this team. Always. Like, that just screams to me, like, all right, I don't believe in a team, but there's always issues. So that's why I passed. But just had to put that in there, because I just don't know what's going on and why it's so much drama.
I think it's a great point because we do this every year with teams. Like they have issues all season. They're like, oh, it's all right. They'll make it work in the playoffs. Usually it doesn't get better.
Yeah.
So usually they continue to have problems. I think that's why I'm going to start to pass them. But the Grizzlies, like I said, 8-8.
Woo.
Grizz 901. You got to represent. But can you be real with yourself?
I can be real and I can be a homer in the same instance, but I'm going to smash. All right.
Of course.
And I'm going to tell you the reason I'm going to smash. They've lost 55% of their games this season have been by either a win or loss of 10 or more points. 7 out of their 8 losses have been double digit losses. That's an issue. And so I think when you can correct those things, correct your defense, which they've gotten much better when they've gotten Dylan Brooks back. I think you can kind of figure out some chemistry. I think a adjustment that, you know, that I shared on Grizz 901 and in this last episode, if you're listening right now, there's going to be an Eric Hasseltine conversation we had with him.
Ooh.
And I brought out that same question. Is does something like this help? Does a little adjustment of changing Zaire into the first part of the quarter compared to the end of the quarter, little adjustments like that, I think this team can be much better because I don't believe that you're going to hold on to those kind of stats the whole year. I don't believe that you're going to have, you know, 90% of your losses being by 10 or more points. I just don't think it's going to happen. So we'll see.
Yeah, that's really rare. And if it is a consistent team thing with this team, ooh, then this is why I'm passing, because then they will be a bad team.
Yeah.
And this is the year, like, look, we're both Grizzlies fans. We know that. We're on Front Street, but we're realistic with the team. All right. But you should listen to Grizz 901 anyways, just to, you know, get a little teaser for the Grizzlies.
Yep.
But I'm going to pass this team because I do think it is a big transition year with trading away JV, playing Zaire Williams, Kyle Anderson moving to the bench. You know, they were the fun upstart in the playoffs, well, at least for us. Actually took the game off of the one seed, even though Donovan Mitchell is out. It still counts as a win, people. And there's a transition of playing styles and who's playing in certain spots. So you're not going to repeat that year after year when you have big shifts like that. So I'm passing the Grizzlies just because it's a year of transition to figure things out. So that's why I passed on this year, but I'm very interested in them for next year. A team that it seems like it's always transitioning, even though it's had the same foundational quote unquote star since he's been in the league. And that's the Minnesota Timberwolves, who are 7-9. They just beat the brakes off the Grizzlies a couple days ago. Are you smashing or passing the Timberwolves?
I'm going to do both. And let me explain myself real quick.
I think it's fair.
I'm going to smash them if they can move off of Cat.
Okay.
And the reason I say this, because this is Anthony Edwards' team.
Oh.
Karl Anthony Towns, his draft stock, I don't know. I'm sorry, not his draft stock, but his trade stock. I don't know if it's going to get much higher than what it is. I think they get off of him, go ahead and accept the rebuild, because the highest they're going to get is 9, maybe 8 if they play really, really good. I just think it's time for them to get off of Cat and hold on to Anthony Edwards, who is their main star now. If they do not get off of Karl Anthony Towns, I'm 100% pass, because this team is not built that direction. And so that's my two different ways. And I know that's a stupid thing, but I really do think this is Anthony Edwards' team. They need to get off of Cat as soon as they could.
Wow. That is, we'll probably have to save to get more in depth to talk about that, because I am very interested to talk about where we are with Karl Anthony Towns
right,
as just a general NBA player, because he's an incredible talent, one of the best shooting bigs ever. But it just has not translated into anything wins wise. And we just talked about the Kings with, is it coaching? Is it roster construction? So that would be an interesting conversation. Getting to a team who is hot on their heels at 6-10, with a surprise, the Oklahoma City Thunder. Are you smashing or passing this team?
Pass.
See, I'm a smash with this team.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm kind of a nerd geeking out over this team. Josh Giddey has been better than I think everyone expected. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander doing his thing. Lu Dort, love Lu Dort. It's just an interesting team. It's weird. I don't expect them to win a ton of games, but they have been fun. They were spunky. I'm going to use the word spunky.
Spunky?
They were spunky last year before they phoned it in. So they could do that again, this exact same process.
Get out of here. Let me give you a number.
I like them.
Let me give you a number. 98.6.
That's their playoff chances?
That's their points per game.
Oh, their offense sucks. But I'm sorry. I can't help it. There's something about this team. Maybe it's just I'm an SGA fan, and I like it with Giddey together. And Lu Dort was my call of that draft as the sleeper pick of the undrafted. So yeah, I got to hold on. I'm holding that stock. Go back and listen to the episode.
If you hold on to that stock. They're scoring less than Detroit. Get out of here.
Sacramento Kings, who we just talked about at the beginning, 6-11.
Nah.
Interim coach Alvin Gentry, are you smashing or passing?
Nah, fam. We good.
Yeah, I'm passing too. I just don't see it. I love the players individually. I just think we're at a part where it just doesn't make sense together. Kind of like that old Lakers core of Lonzo, Ingram, Hart, you know, that kind of core. It just didn't win together. I just don't think this is a group that can win together. So the Spurs, 4-11. Smash or pass. They've been kind of a little frisky in some games. They can't win anything yet.
Yeah.
They've been a little frisky.
Yeah. So the team, they have good players. They're solid players. If you put two superstars on this team, I think they're a really good team. Don't get me wrong. But you just can't get those two superstars to still keep these same guys, right? You have to trade some of your assets to get them back. So I'm going to pass them because I don't understand why Pop stayed around. I don't get it. This is probably the chance to go ahead and hand the reins over to Becky Hammond, probably at the end of the year, maybe. I think that's what they do. But I'm going to pass on them because I don't see them being a threat this year, next year, and the year after that.
Yeah, I mean, I pass as well. Dejounte Murray has been great in spots. Big fan of Keldon Johnson. Yeah. But I just don't see where this is going. So I'm a pass as well. Another team where I just do not see where this is going. The New Orleans Pelicans, 3-15. Smash or pass?
You say 3-15? I think he's 15. Like, I think he weighs 415 now. we're not talking about Zion.
Projected weight.
Yeah, I'm passing on this. Sorry.
Maybe it is. Yeah, I'm gonna pass. I'm not gonna go.
Is that his beignet order?
No, no.
3 for 15.
I can't do any more Zion fat jokes. We've had enough. Yeah, I'm passing as well. I mean, Jonas Valanciunas has been fun. Devontae Graham, like, just play Trey Murphy more. It's all I want to see.
Quick NBA trivia, real quick for you.
Uh oh.
There's an NBA stat right now. I'm gonna give you the two leaders, and you tell me what is the category.
Okay.
The leader in the clubhouse, Jonas Valanciunas. Okay. Second in the NBA in this category, Tyus Jones. What NBA category is this?
Assist to turnover ratio?
This is not. You want one more guess? Let me tell you.
I'm trying to think of what possibly Tyus Jones could be in besides assists. I have no idea.
Well, if you're listening
assist
to this.
Assist percentage? I don't know.
This has nothing to do with assists, my friend. But if you're listening to this, we have a podcast at Grizz 901. I'm going to give myself a cheap plug coming out probably Tuesday.
For the fourth time.
Probably Tuesday. I'm going to put it out. It's with an interview with Jessica Benson. So we mentioned Eric Hasseltine, which is the Grizzlies radio play-by-play guy. Another media person with the Grizzlies. She does a lot of good things as well as has her own podcast show and everything. But I brought this up to her and she did not get it either. The category is 3-point percentage.
Of course.
Jonas is shooting 56.4% and Tyus is 53.1%. They've both taken, over 35 three-pointers.
Wow. And we made fun for the Pelicans when they said he was going to be a stretch big for Zion. Woo. And he is so far without Zion. Yeah. The last team on this list, the Houston Rockets, 1-15. I feel like I know what your answer is, but I'm still going to give you a chance to respond.
Yeah, I'm going to pass. I don't know if Jalen Green. I don't know. Don't see it yet.
My questions is maybe more so coaching, like Stephen Silas. I just don't see it with him.
Is he getting fired already?
I don't think the players respond to him at all. And then I also do have issues, or maybe not issues, but questions about the Jalen Green, Kevin Porter Jr. fit long term. Because people have already made this observation, but it's just a more adult AAU team look. And I think they brought in Daniel Tice because they thought it'd be more for professional coming in, but Daniel Tice isn't going to fix that. They need a professional that they respect. Yeah. So I'm not sure who that'd be. Maybe it'd have been John Wall. Oh, wait. So just having John Wall sitting on the bench for $44 million, even though it's agreed upon, I get it. But get that check, John Wall. So I pass as well, which wraps up Smasher Pass for the Western Conference.
I got a question real quick.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to hold your feet to the fire on this one. The Houston Rockets will Fintish. Fintish. I don't know why.
Fintish. You have a fetish?
Yeah, they're fetish of the year. The Rockets will finish with the worst record in NBA history. Smash or pass?
I will pass. I think they'll win more than 7 games or whatever it was, the Bobcats one. Yeah. I would say they win more than 7. Not saying it's going to be close to 20, but I think that it's mid-teens.
Wow. Okay.
But if they only win 6 games, Jesus, just like fold the franchise or turn it into one giant strip club. Like, let fans do something in the stands. I'm not sure what you do if you win 6 games out of 82.
Well, right now they're on pace to win 5.
Yeah. It's not great. Ideal. I'm not saying it's going to be great, but I have a hard time seeing them winning just 7 or less games. But yeah. I was going to do best bets, but I think I want to do a plug with the new channel that we have from the lead that is on Twitter. And this is where our best bets are going to start being at. So maybe next week we'll say that it's going to be on this channel. But at Bet the Lead, Daniel, tell people a little bit about what this is, what we're trying to do. Since we've been giving out some best bets here, doing great so far, if I might say. I'm 6-2. You're 5-3. Cody's 3-0.
Yeah.
We're just riding this train. That's what we're doing, right?
Yep, we're going to ride the train. So we got together with the head honchos of the lead sports media, and they gave us the clearance to go ahead with this and kind of put their money behind us and gave us the right direction. And so we took over a Twitter account that they were not using I'm not sure exactly how many followers it had. But in the first week, we've gained over, 100, 150 followers, which was nice. We put out a lot of bets. I did absolutely horrible. I've actually stopped betting, and I'm not betting for like at least 4 or 5 days. I'm gonna clear my head, get back on. Yeah, I'm gonna go back to where I was before I started putting my posting my prop bets and stuff. But
you gotta get your groove back before you start my posting groove to the public.
Yeah, still got a groove off right now. It's good. It's at Bet the Lead. The artwork that they gave us was really cool. We have a team that we're doing, me, Ryan, and as well as some other guys. Shout out those guys. So we're all doing a good job. We have a Discord channel. We talk a lot throughout the day. And we have a lot of fans that are coming over now. So if you want to join that Discord channel, just go into the profile, the bio. And you just click on that into the link tree, and it'll tell you where the Discord channel is. Click invite and come on over. But we'll give out our best bets earlier than we put them out on Twitter, just because we want to talk them through and just kind of make sure that we have the right, information before we put it out and get judged like me.
Yeah, we got to put out the feelers to make sure we have some backing to feel good about them. So we've had a good start with our best bets on here. Let's just flip it on over to Bet the Lead, and
yeah,
maybe we can give you a lot more and we can all make money together. So Daniel, this was fun. Another good episode for this week. Hope everyone has a good Thanksgiving holiday. If you're traveling, I hope you are safe. Turn us on. Why, you got nothing else to do on the drive. So, you know, all your friends got nothing else to do while they travel.
Nothing.
Send it on over. So share it, rate, review. We thank you for tuning in and continuing to tune in every week to The Lead. Make sure you check out all the other amazing shows on our podcast network throughout the week. Everyone had a good holidays once again, and we will see you guys next Monday.
Gobble, gobble, mother.